Hey, hey, sex fans, welcome back. Today is Wednesday, November 9th, 2011, and you are lucky enough to be listening to the podcast edition of Dr. Dick's Sex Advice with an Edge. And I am your host, that savagely scintillating sexologist, Dr. Dick. I'm so excited because my friends and colleagues, Celeste Hirschman and Danielle Harrell, are back to dispense more of their signature sex wisdom. This is part two of their appearance on this show, don't you know? We had such a good time together last week, I simply had to insist that they return today, and they were kind enough to comply, so yay for that. But wait, you didn't miss part one of our chat, did you? Well, not to worry if you did, because you can find it and all of my podcasts in the podcast archive on my site, drdicksexadvice.com. All you gotta do is use the search function in the header, type in podcast number 307, and presto. But don't forget to use the pound sign when you do your search. Celeste and Danielle invite you to visit them on their site, cleverly named CelesteandDanielle.com. And from there, you'll be able to link to their amazing blog. But that's not all. They're also on Facebook and Twitter, too. Look for all these links in the posting that accompanies today's podcast on my site. Today's show is once again brought to you by the granddaddies of male masturbation toys, the amazing Fleshlight and Fleshjack. For those of you who have never seen one of these brilliant devices, let me describe it to you. It looks like a huge flashlight, thus the very clever names, don't you know? Inside the durable plastic case, there is a soft, fleshy inside called Super Skin. And trust me, this stuff is aptly named. It is phenomenal. But that's just the beginning. What makes the Fleshlight and Fleshjack so freaking amazing is that you get to design and personalize just about every aspect of the unit you purchase. Now, what other toy company allows you to do that? And ladies, here's a tip. This is the perfect gift for your man. You know how I keep talking about the mutual joys and the important information shared when a couple masturbates together, right? Well, this is the ideal masturbation toy for him. Check it out and see for yourself. I know you will agree, nothing beats a Fleshlight. And remember, if you make your purchase by clicking on the Fleshjack banner in the sidebar of DrDickSexAdvice.com, a portion of that sale will come back to us as support for these shows. Now, you can help underwrite this important sex-positive effort and jerk off at the same time. How great is that? Okay, on with the show. Yay, Celeste and Danielle, thank you again for coming by DrDickSexAdvice.com and sharing your sex wisdom with us. So welcome back, and thanks for joining us again.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Last week, we ended our conversation about talking about sexological bodywork. If you don't mind, could you just give us a quick rundown or recap of that, and tell us a little bit more about how a medical-centric model of therapy and a pleasure-centric model of therapy differs?
Absolutely. Well, I think, you know, actually, sexological bodywork is a great pathway
yes.
to this pleasure-centered pathway. And one of the issues with the medical model is it looks for good enough. Like, okay, let's just make sure everybody's getting an erection and, you know, everything's working properly and nobody has, you know, pain during intercourse or those kinds of things. And it doesn't take into account that we don't want to just have good enough sex. We want to have mind-blowing sex. We want to have full body pleasure. We want to have, you know, orgasms that start in our heart and spread up through our throat and down to our toes. So, that's what sexological body work is really founded on, and it's also what our practice and the Somatica method is really founded on, is let's not go for good enough, because, you know, anybody can do good enough. Let's shoot for the moon. Let's create something that's really unique between two people or even with yourself around your sexuality and your sexual connection.
Right.
So I want to add to this, that sexological body work is focused, it's a profession that people, practitioners actually see students and teach them about what's possible for them sexually. So it's very focused on trance state, or helping people go into kind of like mind-blowing, expanded state of being with their sexuality. Our practice that, again, has those components too, is based on actually the relationship between people, and focus on how to make sex a profound experience between people. So it's more partner connection related.
Right. But you said something very interesting just moments ago, and that this is applicable not just for relationship sex or partnered sex, but it's applicable to solo sex, a person loving him or herself, right?
Right. Well, one of the wonderful things about sexological body work is that one of the practices is masturbation witnessing and coaching.
How cool.
And so we help people also expand their masturbation practice. And usually, you know, unfortunately, everybody's complaining that their partners don't take enough time with us. But usually people are just having quickies with themselves also.
Oh.
They don't take any time
to those vibrators.
they don't take any time for their own bodies, you know,
yes.
And with porn and toys, we can sort of skip up over the whole warm-up period and self-touch and breath and movement and lose a lot of the full potential of our sexual energy. And I was on a panel with somebody once, and he said, you know, as Americans, we're all kind of eating off the kiddie menu when it comes to sex in the U.S.
Oh, so true.
Right? Like tater tots and fish sticks, you know?
Or
like,
where's
the shrimp scampi? Where's the chocolate mousse? So I think sexological body work and somatica, our method, brings the, you know, the chocolate mousse back into your sexuality, right, both with yourself and with, right, your partner.
So is the starting point really owning one's own sexuality before one can really, you know, gift that to anyone else?
Absolutely, and that's what we teach every one of our clients, how to own your own sexuality, because that's the place where you go and you actually celebrate yourself, and then you can connect with someone without feeling needy or, oh, they didn't do it enough for me, and without blaming or shaming, and
right,
then amazing connection can happen.
And it also opens up the possibility to explore, you know, my own personal kinks, yes?
Absolutely. And I think what happens is most people start out in a relationship and they're just having sex and they're really attracted to each other and there's all those hormones and intensity of like, what's going to happen here? And then after a while, they're like, okay, well, you know, that was fun and now it's getting kind of boring and what do we do? And it's about bringing consciousness to like, what are your deepest desires? What are some of your kinks? What are your fantasies? Sharing those with your partner. And we help really create a safe space where people can find acceptance for themselves and each other around those deepest desires, and then you can have the hottest sex you've ever had in your life for the rest of your life, instead of just sort of going, well, I guess that was it, you know.
So one of the things I see in my practice a lot is that people don't really have a vocabulary to talk about even their own personal fantasies. Like, maybe I'm ashamed, maybe I'm, you know, I just can't form the words, you know, would you, you know, spank me, would you, you know, lick my toes, or can I lick your toes, you know, and because we have a difficulty expressing ourselves, a lot of our, you know, fantasies and our little sexual picadillos, you know, go unaddressed. So do you help people learn how to talk about who they are and what they desire?
Yes, all the time. And actually we get very specific about it, because just knowing what you want is, even that is not enough.
Yes.
It's being very clear about how you want it, what kind of vocabulary you want to use. Do you want to be a dirty little girl, or do you want to be a slut? Do you want to be, you know, like there's a lot of finesse to this whole conversation, and we really help people understand for themselves what really turns them on in this whole experience, and then help them ask for it in a way that's going to be inviting and successful most
right.
of the time.
And I think usually when we think about people asking for what they want, we think very specifically like, touch me here or touch me in this way.
Yes.
We don't say like, these are the words I want you to say, and this is the tone I want you to say it in, and this is the pressure with which I want you to grab my butt, you know, like
right.
we we help people get much more specific.
Oh, how cool. Because that really is it, you know? I mean, if I'm not being, you know, fully conversant, you know, with you as my partner about what it is that I want and need, then, you know, my experience is going to fall short of my expectations.
Yes, and you can also, if you have vocabulary and you know, and you have this, like, connection with your partner when you can ask for what you want, you can build on much more than where you started.
Right.
So you can co-create and you keep building on your fantasy and on your physical experience, not only fantasy-related experiences, to create something that's very powerful. And that's how sex keeps growing and stays alive and exciting and not kind of like, you know, get this old thing that you do before you go to bed.
So last week you guys mentioned the fact that you are working with associates, people who are joining your practice. You identify one on your website. Can you tell us a little bit about him? Or I think you mentioned you have two now?
Yes, we have. Right now we have two men, and we're probably adding a couple more women as well.
Oh,
we have
cool.
Dimitri, who's on the website, and he's been working with us for the last year and a half, and he's doing amazing work. Especially with women, and then we're adding another practitioner, and his name is HR, and he's really hoping to work with both men and women around their sexuality and their sexual expansion. So we're really excited to have these two amazing men doing the Somatica method, and just to have some more women, because, you know, Danielle and I are working with a waiting list right now. We have such a full practice, and we really want this work to be spread out throughout the state, and then hopefully the country and the world.
Good for you. So let's return to discussing your book, Cockfidence, The Extraordinary Lover's Guide to Being the Man You Want to Be and Driving Women Wild. When was it published, and who is your publisher?
It was published in February of this year, and we self-published because we wanted, you know,
full...
We wanted confidence.
We wanted title, we wanted creative freedom, we wanted to say what we wanted to say, so we really decided it was best if we published ourselves.
Good for you, because that raises a really important question for a lot of people who are in our audience, because, you know, I have another series called the Erotic Mind Podcast series, and that is interviews with erotic artists, and a lot of them are writers, and they are finding their voice and publishing themselves, and, you know, as independent publishers, and, you know, it's giving them cockfidence maybe, and it's so wonderful, and so you guys are really paving the way for many other people who are considering, you know, bringing their message without the filter that would often be placed on by a more traditional publisher.
Yes.
So did you find that that was a successful endeavor, that, you know, do encourage others to do the same?
We're having great success with the book. It's still selling, and, you know, we haven't even done that big of a media push,
right,
but we've had a lot of interest. We've had great reviews on Amazon, and we're just getting amazing feedback about people going, wow. Especially, I'm hearing so many men say, the first half of this book feels like it's speaking directly to me. Like, in the second half, they're like, I don't know, this is a lot about women, and I'm not exactly sure, but, you know, you're breaking it down, and I trust you so much from the first half that I'm really paying attention to the second half. But that they're really getting, like, you know, what does it mean to be a man in this modern culture? Who, you know, what does power mean? What does dominance mean? What does confidence mean? You know, what does passion mean? How do I express myself without, you know, while still being respectful to women and women's needs and emotions and equality? How do I express myself while still being, you know, respectful to my friends and, you know, the people who I'm connected with in other ways in my life? So I think it speaks directly to that question, you know, how do I be a man in this present world?
So I understand that your book covers the thorny issue of porn. Can you give us a bit of a preview of what you have to say about that topic?
I think that porn is something that is so pervasive in our society right now. It would be, you know, a huge no-no to leave it out, because
I think
it's something that men are dealing with all the time in terms of, you know, how does it affect their own sexuality, how does it affect their partner sex, and the kinds of expectations that it builds up, the kind of sex education that it offers. Do you share it with your partner? Do you not share it with your partner? So we're really addressing all of those questions in the book and talking a little bit about, you know, what are some of the long-term negative ramifications of porn, and how can you still enjoy porn and not have those long-term negative ramifications around your sexuality and around your physiological response? And so I think it's like taking a very realistic view of porn and asking people to look and sit and make some conscious choices about it for themselves.
Right. And you know, I think that's so brilliant, because there are so many people, even in our profession, who want to dismiss pornography out of hand, and you know that it's not healthy, it's not good, it's not this, it's not that, it's exploitative, all of those kinds of things. And that, you know, to my mind, that's like shooting fish in a barrel. Of course, there's lots of terrible things about pornography, but there's also some really good stuff about it too. And if we really want, you know, better porn, then you know we should demand better porn from the people who produce pornography. Would you not agree?
Yeah, and it's something you can't dismiss. It's readily available.
Oh, it's so true.
Everywhere. So
yes.
If you can't, you know, it's like the first thing that pops on your screen when you write the letter X.
It's true. It is so true.
So you can't ignore it. It really has to be addressed. It creates a very specific circuit of arousal, and that can be very detrimental for sexuality. But again, we address it in both what's great about it and also what can be limiting about it.
Right.
So we not only like porn,
bashers. We're not porn bashers.
Yeah.
In fact, we actually encourage people to make their own, you know, porn.
Oh,
movies.
How cool.
You
good
know,
for you.
There's nothing more beautiful than yourself. And to, you know, create something that's more sensual and more, you know, more fulfilling around pornography, not just expect the pornographers to change the way they're doing it, but actually for us to create our own sensational porn.
How cool. So the other question that I want is in tangent with that, because you guys are so out there and so present about your message about, you know, the fullness of sexuality and the, you know, the joy of sexuality and how important it is in our lives, there seems to be a real push on the part of the popular culture to really negate that message. And it comes to us often in terms like the term sex addiction. Like if sex is too big a part of your life, you're an addict. This is a huge bugaboo for me. Do you have any thoughts or comments on the issue?
Yes, we definitely do, and we hear a lot the word sex addiction, and I think it's really easy to put people in the sex addiction category, but I think people really need to be careful, because what makes an addiction is actually, you know, we have a lot of addictions in our culture. There's sports addiction, there's vitamin addiction, there's health addiction, there's food addiction, there's, of course, you know, there's drug addiction and alcohol addiction, and some of them are categorized as good and some of them are categorized as bad, and there's a lot of judgment around it. I think what makes the difference is why people do it, what they do, and what's the purpose that they get out of, what is it that they get out of reaching out for porn or reaching out for anything else, right? So, and there's a lot of work to do around that to help people really find out what is it that they're trying to get out of it and help them find what they really want instead of finding the replacement of it.
Right.
So we look at it as the same category. Again, it's readily available. It's really easy to distract yourself from life by watching porn and spending a lot of time. And it is very, very harmful for people's lives. But as other addictions as well. Yeah.
Yeah, and I think, you know, you can look at addiction as just a distraction from somebody, from one's own emotions or feelings. And so sex can be done with, you know, with complete, you know, like as a celebration, as a joy, as a connection with yourself, as a connection with your partner. And it can also be done to avoid your feelings. Right. And, you know, and so can checking your email and eating a bowl, you know, bowl of ice cream. And so we really want people to separate out like the behavior from where it's coming from inside of them. You know, am I doing this as a celebration of life? Because you can eat a bowl of ice cream and check your email as a celebration of life as well. Or am I doing this to avoid something that I don't want to feel? Right. And so it's not about, you know, what it is that they're using. Could be sex, could be drugs. Again, could be the bowl of ice cream. But you know, how they're using it.
Right.
And from what place inside of themselves.
It just seems to me that, you know, that our society has replaced the shame that used to come to us in spades from religion, now it has replaced that religious shame with like a cultural shame or a sociological shame by calling, you know, our interest in sexuality and addiction. And, you know, I mean, how much sex is too much? I mean, for me, it's one thing. For you, it's another thing. You know, I mean, who is to make those calls?
Well, you know what? I have to be honest. If I was Tiger Woods, I would be fucking everything that moves. But the difference between me and Tiger is that I would be honest about
right.
it. And I'm not so
yeah.
worried about how much sex people are having.
Oh,
I'm worried
so
about the truth that they're telling about it or not telling about it. In fact, we want to say something revolutionary. I want to stop calling it cheating and start calling it lying. Because
oh,
that's
so true.
That's
what it is.
You know, it's like we can be honest about the fact that we want to have sex with a lot of different people. A lot of people do want to have sex with a lot of different people, or we can hide that. And I think that's where the problem comes in. So I think people can have tons of sex, and that can be hugely enhancing to people's lives. I think it really enhanced Tiger Woods' game, and his game has gone downhill since then. But the way, you know, it was the way that it was being done, and that's the part that I find a problem. And I think lying is actually a big addiction as well.
Oh, it's so true. It's so true, and thank you for that, because that just made my day, don't you know? So listen, I also understand that your book talks to men about sexual mastery, including topics as performance anxiety and premature ejaculation. How does your approach help men with these really difficult issues?
I think it's because we do very experiential work. It's really difficult to deal with something like ejaculation control or erectile dysfunction by just talking about it. That can
That's
be, you know, years and might never deal directly with a problem. A lot of times it has to do with relaxation techniques. I mean, just basic stuff like breathing, slowing down, tuning into your body. So in the book, we describe ways that you can do that. And also when we work with our clients, we help them do it right in our office to learn how to relax and lower the anxiety and connect with their body. And, you know, it's actually fairly simple to overcome some of these things
yes.
if you're willing to put in the time and practice.
Right.
And
it does. It is about practice, is it not? I mean, you know, we learned, us men, we learned how to jerk off and in fast, you know, kind of situations in the bathroom so mom and dad don't catch us kind yeah. of stuff. And that's the kind of sexual response we bring to, you know, our potential partner sex. And it just doesn't go very well.
Yeah, that's where we get our training, and the training is that quick and quiet. And if we want to be long and slow and loud, we have to do a different kind of training.
Right. Wow, that's wonderful.
You know, what amazes me is that every time that I work with clients, they ask me, so do you want to tell me that other people that don't come to see you actually know all of it?
Uh-huh.
And what I tell them is, no. People, actually, the only thing that you want to do automatically is grab boobs or butts and then stick it in, right? That's the regular...
Yeah.
That's be like working with intuition.
Right.
Okay. So what we're teaching is so much more like, no, there's no other ways of actually getting good sex education except for making effort to
yeah.
do it and putting your mind into it and learning how to do it differently.
And
right, people
and,
want sex to just be natural. Like, well, isn't it just supposed to happen or just supposed to work? And sure, like for monkeys, but we have complex desires around sex and needs that are being met by sex that aren't just simple, and you can't assume that your partner has the same ones that you have.
Right.
And, you know, it really comes down to, it's like riding a bicycle. I mean, it takes some skill. Balance, you know, self-awareness, some muscle control, all of those kinds of things. And, you know, sexuality isn't any different. And, you know, just throwing two people together and saying, you know, well, good luck. And sometimes, you know, just having a love connection, you know, carries the day. But as you suggested last week, as I recall, you know, sometimes that just, you know, that ends, you know, that honeymoon period ends. And then what do you do for the rest of your life? Where does the inspiration for good sex come from afterwards?
And we get many, many couples that are actually loving each other deeply. They have really good connection in so many other ways, but the sex is not going to happen just from love.
Right.
You need to learn specific skills to keep it going and make it exciting.
Oh, true. Well, in the little time that we have left, could you tell us a little something about what the future holds for you and your work?
Sure. I too, want to remind people to check out our website, CelesteandDanielle.com, and the future is, you know, we're really excited. We want to get this word out to more people. We have other books in our hearts that we are We have lots of people out there who we know would be really good at doing the work that we're doing, and we would like to train them in our method and spread that around. So if you know anybody, Dick, please send them our way.
Cool beans, and we'll do that.
And have more love with sex connected together, or just more sexuality spread around and people being happier and owning their sexuality and knowing what they're doing, and not just like finding yourself, I just stumble across that thing.
So I don't know about you guys, but I hear on a regular basis from people who are interested in the field of human sexuality. So do you guys have any advice for the aspiring sexologist?
Absolutely. I think, you know, the whole world is changing, and practices around being a good sexologist need to transform as well. And I think people can really create, you know, the way that Danielle and I have, can create their own methods, and to, you know, create their own vision of the right way to do it, and to not just go along with exactly what's happening right now. So I'm hoping that we're going to have a sexual revolution around sex therapy. And we love to talk to people. You know, I talk to people a lot who are interested in the field, and I love to help mentor. So, you know, people can contact me. And
good.
Yeah.
And we can contact you through your site, and your web address again is?
It's www.celesteandanielle.com. That's CelesteandDanielle.com. And we have info@CelesteandDanielle.com. There's also my phone number is on there, so we are very accessible. We pick up our phones when we can, and we love talking about sex, so we want you to contact us. Your listening audience. Yeah.
Outstanding. Well, thank you again, you guys. It's been so wonderful chatting with you, and thank you for being so generous with your precious time. I know that we are all the richer for the experience. So until
Absolutely.
We talk again,
Dick, I just have to say, can I say one thing
yes,
to you?
By
you
all
are
means.
So fun to talk to.
Totally.
I had a fucking laugh riot, don't
so.
You know?
Yeah.
Good. Thank you very much. And say hello to Joseph for me and the gang at the Institute. And we will be visiting you in cyberspace until we speak again.
Sounds good.
Wonderful. Thank you so much.
Thanks.
Bye.
Bye.
What a marvelous show. Well, that's it for today, sex fans. Tune in next week for more Sex Advice with an Edge with your host, me, Dr. Dick. Again, this week's podcast sponsor is the fabulous Fleshlight and Fleshjack. You know, all you guys out there who keep complaining to me about your short fuse, well, here's a tip for you. Being a great lover, being able to control your orgasmic response, and last for as long as you'd like, takes practice. Sure, you can learn to last longer by simply using your hand, but now there's an even more effective way to train yourself for sexual stamina and endurance with a partner.
Allow me to introduce you to the Endurance Jack. It's just one of those fine designs from Fleshlight. It comes with a stamina insert, which has extra large bumps and a tight canal. And with just a little practice, this puppy will help you last longer, gain control over your ejaculatory response, and avoid untimely climax. Once you've accomplished this with the Endurance Jack, you'll have all the skills you need just to last and last with a partner. And remember, these fine products are made in the good old US of A. And if you make your purchase by clicking on the Flesh Jack banner in the sidebar of DrDickSexAdvice.com, a portion of that sale will come back to us as support for these shows. Now you can help underwrite this important sex-positive effort and jerk off at the same time. How fun is that? Hey, speaking of sex toys, I want to take a moment to invite you to check out my adult products review site, DrDickSexToyReviews.com. That's right, sex fans. Now you can see what's hot and what's not in adult products. You can even find our reviews of several Fleshlight products. You'll find reviews of all sorts of adult goodies, sex toys for sure, but also condoms, lubes, herbal products, fetish gear, as well as educational and enrichment videos. Don't miss a single one. Again, the address is DrDickSexToyReviews.com. Until next week, remember, sex is good, and good sex? Why, that's even better. Over and out.